Major news coming out of Pullman. We got to talk about it. Yes, welcome on into the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Rao. We got so much to talk about. Hit that subscribe button, bringing you new Pac-12 content every single day. Gavin Height of Up West Sports joining me today because a big, big news dropped on Wednesday night, and we have to talk about it. Pete Thamel of ESPN confirmed that Washington State has fired athletic director Ann McCoy. She was promoted to the head athletic director in the spring of 2024, and they're making a change. She has been with this university for more than two decades, and this is something that is a big change with the Pac-12 making a big change. And for the record, this was actually first reported. Pete Thamel put it out by Percy Allen. Want to make sure that comes out and Percy gets the credit he deserves here on the channel. But hey, this is the big news, Gavin, with Ann McCoy being really just let go here, moved on after two decades, more than two decades of service for Wazoo. What's your overall initial reaction to this news?
Yeah, and shout out to our group chat, Chad, Kyle, and Joel. We were blowing this one up earlier today. Holy smokes. Yeah, this was just kind of out of left field, considering the timing of it all. Just hired less than a year ago, or I guess just promoted into this position less than a year ago. You would think she would get at least a year to kind of prove herself. There's one area, one glaring area that was, you know, capitalized over the last couple of weeks that we understand that she may not be doing the best job in, and that's NIL. For the would-be Pac-12, currently, we are in dead last for NIL money. And that makes it difficult for recruiting. That makes it difficult for everything to move forward. So it sounds like that may be the one area that they're looking for the next person, and not just NIL money for football. I know we all look at this and attack it from a football angle, but I think you're looking at a super fundraiser. That's the person that you're looking to hire is somebody who's been proven to bring in tons of money at any given university. As long as they can wheel and deal, that's the person that's probably going to get the job. So, whether I agree with the decision or not, I thought it was a little bit weird. Somebody who's spent more than two decades with the school to promote them and then fire them within less than a year. I was a little bit surprised at that part. That's just not, in my opinion, that's just not the Coug way. But hey, you know, you got to move on at some point. So thank you, Ann McCoy, for everything that you've done for to Wazoo. And where does this lead us now? That's my question. And that's most of our questions, because there was no direction that we're speculating right now. We have no idea exactly what's going to happen next.
Yeah, that's the really interesting thing. I think not many people saw this coming. I think it's a big surprise that it happened before Oregon State decided to make a decision with their athletic director, because I know that Oregon State has chimed in and said, hey, are we next? A couple of the Oregon State fans I've seen has done that. But no, overall, it really makes you wonder what the next step is going to be. And when you're looking at moving on, and of course July 2026, the brand new Pac-12 with all these new teams, Washington State going to be one of those OGs with Oregon State, you gotta, I think, find somebody to be aggressive in this situation. And we were kind of talking off air when we were discussing this, and we were talking about how, you know, with football right now, they brought in Jimmy Rogers and they've made a huge transition with bringing in all these players. And I'm going to ask you some questions about Jimmy Rogers later on in this show. And then of course, you know, can they continue that run with football? Obviously the main moneymaker in July, in the new Pac-12 moving forward. And then of course, other things like basketball. I think basketball is going to be a huge success indicator for the new Pac-12. And you bring in schools like Gonzaga. There's also rumors that maybe schools like St. Mary's or others will join in the future as well. This could have the true meanings of being a basketball first conference for the Pac-12, at least in success, maybe not in money, but in success. So I think this is a huge home run needed hire for Washington State's president to make sure that he gets the right athletic department. And maybe, just maybe, it's a good sign to maybe get a little bit of a fresh air, a fresh face into this athletic department and help out Wazoo.
Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head there. When this whole thing started to get put together with the Mountain West schools that were, you know, getting in here in July and everything, when that first hit the table last year, I thought, you have a really good opportunity to go a basketball route. And still be very competitive football, right? Like, you're getting Boise State. Wazoo has been no slouch. Oregon State has had their years as well. And then at any point in time, you elevate any of those programs like Fresno State, you know, Utah State. If you elevate those schools, you don't know what they can do. Colorado State's in a very good area with a pretty good student population and everything. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of these schools, if you give them the right platform, that they take advantage of it and kind of move on to the next step. But from a basketball perspective, and this was just kind of, thoughts that were going in the back of my head, you know, you could potentially move this thing across the country because Memphis was being talked about. You could potentially reach out to Villanova and see if you want to do a cross country and do an East conference, a West conference. And if you have enough teams, you can even do a Central conference if you get North Texas in, and you start going that route and everything. And then UConn, would be another school that you'd probably want to reach out to in all this, but you can really, really hone in on the basketball side. And I think if you capitalize on one thing and you make it your niche, the ACC did it for years.
We've seen this in the past when we're looking at Washington State, and we've heard the president speak this past week as well, talking about the NIL portion and the issues that Washington State has. There was a report that Washington State's NIL for football is last among all these new Pac-12 members, which makes you kind of wonder how that's even possible. But either way, that could be a big reason why they decided to make this change, because the big splash has to happen. What is the biggest thing that you're going to look for in this new athletic director? Is it just getting innovation in, not being afraid to fundraise? Is it all the above? Like, what is the main traits that you need for an athletic director inside Wazoo with this new Pac-12 coming in?
Yeah, financially, you know, that's going to be one of the big things, but also just vision in general. I learned this from actually my father-in-law, who's been mentoring me, on growing in my career and growing on the business side and the corporate world and everything. And just talking about, when you get into a form of leadership, what's your vision? What are you teaching the people below you? What do you want to lead the people below you? That's what we want. We want vision. We want a vision and attack, and just being able to kind of, drive towards it, to find out what the problems are and to attack them head on. And obviously right now, I just mentioned at the beginning, financial, that's going to be the big one. Having people join the 1890 club. We talk about it every episode. We even have memes, talking about joining the 1890 club. And so the more people that we can get joining in, after the Oregon State loss, I think we had like 20 some odd people that ended up not, backing out or whatever. So we want to change that narrative. We want to, get all of our alumni, however many thousands of, plus, back in and joining that. And so we need somebody that can lead that vision. And that's just from one angle, right? There's so many other things above my head that I hope get handled, and they create the vision that I'm not even thinking of right now.
Well, let's talk more about this in the future, because new stuff is going to break very soon. This was just an initial reaction of the firing of the athletic director. We don't really know the reasoning, other than the fact of us speculating the fact that it's to try and make a bigger step forward, to try and make it a big splash. So we'll see who the hire is in the future for Washington State. Let's move on, though, and let's talk about, you brought it up, losing to Oregon State in the first of the two games they played this season. Well, they're looking to bounce back this week at home against Louisiana Tech. And I think this is a must-win game for Washington State. When you look at the rest of their schedule, they're sitting at 4-5 right now. They have three games left on the slate. If they have to go 2-1 to get to a bowl game for the first year under Jimmy Rogers. I think this win is a must-win. This game is a must-win for Washington State, because next week's game against James Madison's not a pushover. They're a team right now trying to make it to the college ball playoffs. I think they're going to try and keep pushing it. And of course, you finish the season in Pullman against Oregon State, which I think is a winnable game after how this one went in Corvallis a few weeks ago. Take me back to how bad it felt losing to Oregon State, obviously, with an interim coach in the first year of Jimmy Rogers. And then how you feeling about the game at home against Louisiana Tech this Saturday?
So, yeah, the loss to Oregon State, even going in, knowing where they were at with everything, what they did this offseason, what they did to, you know, kind of help boost themselves up with the NIL money that they put together and the team that they got. And they brought in some big names from other universities and everything. At any point in time, that team can turn it on. You just know that they can turn it on. Now, granted, they didn't necessarily turn it on. We just turned it off. That's kind of the way. So I went into that game not expecting a win, but also just prepared that they can give us a good game and that they could potentially end up on the winning side of it. Yeah, the offense kind of fell apart. It was one of those things. We talked about it on our show. Just Danny Freund and Xevi Eckhouse were not on the same page. And it's one of those things where I'm not a big believer in just firing an offensive coordinator just to fire an offensive coordinator. I'd like to see this through, but he does need to make he needs to make improvements. He needs to understand, hey, if I don't have the best offensive line because we got five or six guys injured, how can you win a game? I go back to that We Are Marshall where they're like, we don't have a quarterback that can throw. How do you win a game? And they go to the triple option or whatever they ended up going to. You have to think outside the box. You have to adapt. And I'm not saying you can't get that at the FCS level, but that's definitely here. That's the Coug way. We've never had the best prospects. You always have to try and find ways to win without the advantage. So that's one thing I'd like to see from Danny Freund moving forward. Xevi Eckhouse, same thing. He also had just kind of some brain farts, didn't have the best game, and would like to see him kind of move forward. La Tech, now moving forward to this, La Tech is a must-win game. I don't need to be in that locker room to understand that it is a must-win game. All of those seniors that have been injured, all those seniors that want one more game, all those seniors that transferred from South Dakota State, they are chomping at the bit to get a bowl game. They all want a bowl game because most of them don't know if they're going to hear their name called when it comes to, you know, next spring. They have no idea if their name's going to be called. So they want that one more game. And all of them are used to having one, two, three, sometimes even four games in the postseason because that's how FCS works. And yeah, you can bet your last dollar on it that they're going to be jumping at the bit. Couple of good things to note, however, we do have a couple offensive linemen that are probable rather than out. Christian Hilborn, Brock Dew are probable. So we could have them back. That's huge because the offensive line has kind of been a little bit of a problem. And then we also have a huge defensive end that we haven't had for most of the season, Ram Stevenson, that could make a comeback. However, the defense has been incredible. Jimmy Rogers has got those guys running. They do their prep work and they get after it. You saw it against the big games in Ole Miss and Virginia. So La Tech's also dealing with some injury problems. They have their starting quarterback out. That's going to be, you know, I think he tore his MCL or ACL. So prayers for that guy and hopefully for, you know, hoping for a swift recovery for their quarterback. But you know, this is the chance that you can really put the nose to the grindstone and go win a game.
La Tech is one game away from being bowl eligible as well, so they'll be having a lot to play for even without their starting quarterback. They are 5-4. ESPN Analytics currently has Washington State as a 68% to win this one compared to 31 points, whatever, to La Tech on this one. You mentioned Xevi Eckhouse here, and obviously he's had some up and down games. There's been moments where you thought this guy could beat, you know, fifth ranked or fourth ranked, wherever it was at the moment, Ole Miss. There was a time where they were playing great against UVA. Second halves weren't the best in those matchups, but still playing well against ranked opponents at the time in Ole Miss and UVA. Getting that win against Toledo was huge. And of course the loss against Oregon State. I've seen some rumblings on social media. I'm not buying into them too much, but the thought that maybe they think that Xevi Eckhouse shouldn't be the quarterback, that sounds a little bit egregious. Or do you actually buy a little bit of stock into that?
I can understand why people would want to go that route. I can bite the bullet and understand why that would be the question, because you want to prepare for next year. And what's the best way to prepare for next year is to get this guy on ramped and ready to go. It's the same thing I said, same, but still different. Harry Ford catching for the Mariners, because if he's going to be your backup, I want him a little bit more ready. I want his feet wet. However, Xevi Eckhouse is the best guy you got. And I'll stand firmly behind that until he continues, or until he proves me wrong. Granted, his numbers, I think his touchdown to interception ratio is terrible right now. I think it's like 9-8 or something, something ridiculous like that. But I still think between everybody that you got there, he's the most experienced. He's the guy that can put up 400 plus yards a game. He's the guy that can put up four touchdowns a game. This is the guy I'm riding through the rest of the year. That sounded weird, but we'll just roll it back. That's the guy that I'm going with for the rest of the year.
Zebiakhouse and Washington State Cougars could win out and go 7-5. 6-6 is good enough for a bowl game. And you're talking about, you know, trying to keep with a player and keep with a coach. Jimmy Rogers, of course, with the uncertainty now of going with a new athletic director. Usually when athletic directors come in, they want to change it up and, you know, have their guy. But of course, with going into just year two in this offseason of Jimmy Rogers after only having 1 year, I have to ask you this question, you know, with the fact that they might not make a bowl game in year one, but the fact that they brought in 75 new players from the FCS level, and there's going to be a lot of turnover yet again. They're looking to make that big splash with the brand new Pac-12 coming in July of 2026. Gavin, is Jimmy Rogers still the right guy for Washington State?
It is a fair question. And to be honest, for anybody that is just kind of, you know, not familiar with Jimmy Rogers, anybody that's just like, oh, they're just seeing the Washington State situation unfold. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Rogers, if you fire that guy, you're making the wrong move. I'll tell you that right now. Jimmy Rogers has, he's got that locker room bought in. You're not seeing guys enter the portal right now. That could change over the next couple of, you know, next couple of months or whatever. But I think the true test is if Devin Ellison was one of the big guys that we got. And I think that was all thanks to Jimmy Rogers. If he stays through the injury riddled season and through his potential, he can go to Ole Miss and play and be one of their best wide receivers. He's that good. Cause we've seen that guy play, but if you got guys like that buying in and staying through the program, and in mid-November for a team that is brand new with a brand new head coach, you already have 23 commits for next year, and a lot of them are three stars. I mean, this is the guy. And I listen to all I have is to listen to this guy when he talks to the media afterwards. I don't have anything, you know, beyond that. But this guy is locked in, and the vision that he has created is something that is being bought in by all of his guys. So again, I go back and I'll triple stamp a double stamp. If you fire Jimmy Rogers, you're making the wrong move. I don't care who the next athletic director is. If you're firing Jimmy Rogers, think that one over again.
Does that still ring true if they find out and they finish this season 5-7?
Even if they don't win, another game, I'm still going to go with it. Cause right now that defense, this is his side of the ball. This is what he's done very well. He's delegated his offense to Danny Freund. Danny Freund, yeah, he's got some things that he needs to work on, or at least work with. I'm not going to sit here and torch the guy up, but Jimmy Rogers has done one thing really well and delegate. He got his guys in, and he has delegated, said, hey, you're really good at doing this. Take that over. He is really good at defense, and you have seen that defense hold very good teams to under 25 points. This is a first year guy. Granted, there are seniors transferring in, but these, you're meshing a bunch of different personalities from multiple different schools and trying to make it work. And I don't judge him too harshly on year one. I said at the beginning of the year, we're going to see what this is about. And he's done the defense incredibly well. I want to see where that goes just from on the field. But from him as a head coach and just the way he addresses the media, the way he holds accountability to himself and doesn't push it to his team, I'll never leave that guy. That's awesome.
For the record, I am completely in agreement with you. I'm on board with the Jimmy Rogers train as well. La Tech is going to learn all about new Pac-12 after dark. Well, at least Pac-12 after dark when it comes to Washington State. They're not going anywhere. They're the old and the new. That one's at 7:00 Pacific time on the CW network. I like what the CW is doing. Gavin, I think the CW is doing a great job with the Pac-12 coverage.
Yeah, CW. And we were talking off air about this. CW has done a fantastic job. And the fact that they're going all in on sports begs the question if they're going to just go all in on Pac-12. And if they don't try and maybe spice it up and see if they can't dabble with other sports. But if they go solely with Pac-12, that is, I mean, it's a match made in heaven looking at it right now, it's a match made in heaven. You got a brand new conference starting up, trying to regain the momentum that they've lost over the last couple of years. And you got CW, who's going all in on just being sports. So yeah, I think it's a match made in heaven. And their graphics, everything they've done with their broadcasting has been fantastic.
For all the other big news happening in Pullman and then news about the Seattle Mariners, where can everyone find your work at Up West Sports?
Absolutely. Yeah. At Up West Sports on here on YouTube, or if you're checking us out on Twitter or any platform, it's at Up West Sports.
Got a lot to talk about this weekend. Major games in college football. We haven't even broken talk about college basketball yet. We got plenty to talk about across the new Pac-12. So be sure to tune in right here. Subscribe if you haven't already. If you're listening in audio form, I thank you. And we'll see you back here for another episode soon, right here on the Pac-12 Daily.